This morning's responsive reading came from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. So if you would like to join along with us as we give some explanation or exposition to what we just got done reading here at Trinity, we would ask you to be kind enough to go get your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 18, and we begin with verse 12 to 24. Notice verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Now there are two parts to this verse 12, and each one says a mouthful. The first part says, before destruction. Now stop and think. What are some things that cause destruction? Well, one of the first things that comes to my mind is outright war. When nations go to war, and they begin to lob bombs and drop bombs out of the air or let bombs loose out of a cannon, eventually there's going to be a whole lot of destruction. I enjoy watching the black and white newsreels of the First World War. And just something about the First World War that's totally different even from the Second World War. But when you look at some of the photographs taken after several weeks, if not several months, of a battlefield where there were millions of shells dropped from both sides of the trenches against each other, and where there was once a forest, now there's nothing but toothpicks of remaining tree bark, a few trees with a few limbs. The ground, especially during the rainy season, the ground turns to a quagmire. Soldiers literally sinking into the mud and unable to get out, died right there, died in the mud. And you look at the wholesale destruction. And then you look at the pictures taken over Berlin in 1945, the massive bombing that the Russians did when they were coming in from the east, from Poland. And you look at bombed out Berlin, and you look at Berlin today and you say, my word, what a difference. Before destruction, before all of that warfare and mass killing and bloodshedding, the heart of man is haughty. And when you look at all the wars that have been fought, you got to admit that it comes down. You take away all the smoke and mirrors, and you look at what caused most, if not all, the wars that we have fought in man's history. It all comes down to a matter of pride. Someone's honor being rubbed or being snubbed the wrong way. You know, versus taking a little insult and just brushing it off. Instead, we get a little bit of an insult and we start marching soldiers into a firestorm of bullets, grenades, and artillery fire. And so when it comes to the destruction of a home, or what about a marriage? What causes most marriages that do end in divorce, especially if there's children? You know what the main cause of that is? Pride. Wounded pride. I didn't get my way. She wants her way. Or he wants to get his way in this divorce, so we're just going to make it miserable. Who normally suffers in that exchange between the two parents? Well, the kids. They are the walking wounded in that instance. So I think verses 12, beloved, is a good verse to put over Congress, the Supreme Court, the White House, and every house. Before destruction, before a marriage is destroyed, what about a friendship? Sometimes the best of friends part ways. Nations part ways. Well, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. But then look at the other part of verse 12. And I believe the greatest of all examples of verse 12, part B, is Jesus. And before honor, before the crown, comes what? Humility, the cross. I believe it's John chapter 6, when Jesus feeds, either John 5 or John 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000 plus. And boy, they thought that he was the greatest thing since sliced bread and dried fish. What did they want to do? They brought out a crown, and they wanted to anoint him king at that spot. And he refused. Why? He had not gone to the cross yet. What does the verse say? Before honor, before somebody is exalted, before somebody gets the prize, humility must be learned. It's been said that when the Caesars or a general came back to Rome after a triumphant battle against Rome's enemies, they had what was called a triumphant, meaning the city of Rome brought out all the decorations, the garland, whatever. The Senate and all the city elders and the movers or shakers would be outside the Senate, all the townspeople. But as the general or the conquering Caesar, as he's coming home with the slaves and the booty, he has to wait outside the city. And then a delegation of people from the town would go out to meet him. And then that parade would enter. But while the general in his chariot, and the Caesar was in his chariot, strolling into the city with great fanfare, there was a man behind the Caesar, or the general, holding a wreath above his head. And that person would constantly be whispering in his ear, "Thou art but a man. Thou art but a man." So his head wouldn't be like this. I'm pretty sure his head was that way, but maybe he wasn't showing it. But isn't that amazing? The person behind him telling the Caesar, "You're but a man." So verse 12 is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 13 and verse 17, I think we're all guilty. Let us be honest. Verse 13 says, "He that answereth a matter or an issue or a controversy before he hears it all, before he gets all the facts, it is folly and shame unto him." How many people have been wounded in church discipline when everybody involved in trying to reconcile the errant brother or sister, how many people have gone out of their way to get all the facts before any deliberation was even made? How many of us have overheard bits and pieces of a person's conversation, just bits and pieces, not the full conversation, and then we jump to massive conclusions, and then we run with that? How many churches have been destroyed by people violating verse 13? They don't get all the doctrine, they don't do all the study, but boy, they got the, you know, they're going to get on that white stallion, and they're going to right the wrong. Verse 17, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and notice, searcheth him." It's like going half-cocked without getting all of the facts. Then verse 19, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." I think I've been on both sides of that issue in my 70 years, I got to admit. Then verse 22 is a special verse, because well over some 45 years ago, when I got engaged to my beloved wife, this was a verse in my Bible that I etched in the date of our engagement. "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." And then verse 24. "A man that had friends must show himself friendly." And today, beloved, the way our culture is today, it's hard to find a good friend. A lot of people don't mind being your friend, but it's always conditioned on what you can give them. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want you to turn to John 15 on that last phrase. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, the verse says, "There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." John 15, 14, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." So I believe John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15 is a New Testament commentary to verse 24b of Proverbs 18. Well, may the Lord choose in his wisdom to bless his word. Amen.